appeals.
Besides the Ha'aras Panim of the Rosh Hashivas, there's always the Ha'aras Panim of the Chutz. It's to stand and to... The day is a Kaddish Baruch Hu Ha'aras Panim, except that we need rain, and the Makom has Ha'aras Panim to it. I wanted to stop a bit and think about a certain inyan in the Mishkan. The Mishkan itself, every detail of it, every aspect of it has some remez to it. The Ramah has a sefer called Toras Ola, which gives for every single detail of the Mishkan, the Beis Hamikdash, and the Karbanis, a reason. Some of it is a little Kabbalistic, some is a little bit philosophical, but there obviously was something about the Mishkan that every point of it was extremely, extremely precise. And everything was very meduyik, what it was, from what it was, where it was. Every aspect of it carries some sort of remez. I'd want to look at something that's a little more klalistic. It says, what is actually called the Mishkan? Whereas the Mishkan is everything together. The Mishkan also has, the oihel of it, is one particular part, which are the urios, the covering of it, the roofing of it, is called the Mishkan. So how did they make the roofing? So it says, Vasisa Urios Izim La Oil Ala Mishkan, Ashtes Urios Tas Osam. So they had 11 Urios, each one a certain size, rings, hooks, and so on to attach them together. I want to ask, I guess, a Balabatsha Shaila. And then it says, V'chibarta sa'ohel v'hoya echad. And you clip them all together, and it becomes one. Why couldn't they make it one big roll? All the kalim had to be miksha achas. Miksha achas is a very important part. Not to solder it together, screw it together, but rather to have it one piece. The walls obviously couldn't be one piece. You can't carry around a wall of that length. That obviously had to be crushing. But I don't know, I don't have the ability to project visually how big the roll would be, but l'chura, rolls get rolled up and they get moved on. Would have it been bigger than the shulchan or at the mizbeach? I don't know. But I would say besides the practical aspects, if there are, there's something else also to it. Because it's a complicated system. You have these slats and these strips, and you have to have these lulos and the krasim. That's an akuda that I would like to find some common, some sort of meaning. I want to go to something somewhere else and talk about that, and we'll come back to it. There's a medrash which it's quoted quite a few times in different sfarim. We don't have it in any of the medrashim that we have in that nusach. The earlier makor that I can find is the one who wrote the Ein Yaakov. The Ein Yaakov was Yaakov Shlomo Chaviv from Gedolei Achronim, and he was the Baal of the Ein Yaakov. And he writes in his akdama, he writes a lengthy akdama, and he brings a medrash. So we have medrashim that are similar to this, but there's an addition here that's no place else. And whenever he's quoted, Bedar Chalal, he's quoted as he bringing down that medrash. Well, it's not a palette that we don't have in medrashim. Medrashim have been lost. There are things Yalkut Shimoni quotes that we don't have an exact medrash like that. It's going on the inyan of what is a Chalal of Kol HaTorah. The concept of a Chalal Kol HaTorah. Ben Zoma Oimer. Matzinu pasuk kol Yosef u'shma Yisrael. Shma Yisrael is so. There's, I assume he doesn't bring the first half. I assume the first half is probably Zeh Tol Das Adam, and then he says Ben Zoma says Shma Yisrael is a greater klal. One. Ben Nana Zoma matzinu pasuk kol Yosef v'vafter echa kamoicha. Ben Zoma Ben Nana says v'vafter echa kamoicha. That's very familiar. Said over in Reb Akiva. It's a memory of Reb Akiva. And so on, it makes sense as bananas as well, that we're also quite comfortable with understanding why these are klal. Shema Yisrael is possibly the klal of all of our mitzvahs. The Rambam, in his Mor Nevuchim, when he gives reasons for the mitzvahs, all the mitzvahs, the reasons for all the mitzvahs boils down to Achdus Habore and so on, and he fits in each mitzvah. That Shema Yisrael is a klal, that's kolal, we have no problem. V'avtarecha kamocha is all ben on the chavero. Rashi explains in Shabbos that it includes ben adam makam also, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also called Riacha. These two memories are, quote, this we have other medrashim, and that's fine. Ben Pazi oimer, matzinu pasuk kol yoyse. Ben Pazi says, I have even a greater one. Vehu, esakev esecha tase babaykev, esakev esheni ba'er. The mitzvah of a carbon tumit to bring one in the day and one at night. Amar Reploini al Ragla. Reploini got up. The word Reploini actually is used a few times in Chazal. We do have Reploini. Reploini is Reploini got up on his feet. The Amar Halacha ki Ben Pazi. The Halacha is like Ben Pazi. Yes, he hit it home. The Chsiv it says ki Chola Shini Mara Oischa Es Tamnis Hamishkan. This last piece is tamua on all sides. First of all, I don't know. What does it mean it's a bigger klal? We have all the bin adam lamakom, all the chavero, and now he has a bigger klal that is this kevesecha tasa karm tam. It's very karm tam, it's very chashiv, and so on. But what's. And then the Reploni paskins like him, which is not clear what that means exactly, but his raya is kechola shirimara oischa estavis hamishkan v'chein tasu. What do you see in the pasuk over there? I mean, it's a pasuk that introduces the mitzvah of building the mishkan. So I guess the mishkan, the karbanis, it's sort of somehow. If the pasuk says v'chein tasu, it's important. And the Mishkan is there to bring Karbanis, Karm Tamid most specifically. So that's included in it. It's very, very weak for Reploini to jump up and say, wow, it certainly is a call because V'chein Tasu. So that's the point I'd like to think, to try to delve into a bit and get a sense of it. And we'll come back, Mitzvah Hashem, and have some feel for what it could mean. The Maral speaks in many places, where he categorizes Avodas HaAdam in the following way. Many times in Pirkei Avos, the Maral, one of his Yesodos in Pirkei Avos is that almost every Maimon in Pirkei Avos includes three elements, Torah, Avodim, Mos HaSadam, the obvious one. Almost every Mandiyama has three things. He says because it means there are three fundamental nyanim, and each one is trying to explain how he understood a certain hanhaga in each one of them. So one of the things the Maral says is as follows. I'm paraphrasing a bit, but the idea is what he says. We speak of HaKadosh Baruch as being one. If something is lacking in Ruchnius, if something is lacking in Shleimus, it means that it's been broken into pieces. Something's been split up. The opposite of Echad is Ribui. There are many pieces. And therefore, the Yudke Vavke is Yochid, Elohim, which could also mean Avodah Zarah as Elohim Acherim, is Lashon Rabbim. In other words, the things in the world that are opposite in Echad are many. For instance, a Tov and Ra. If we feel that Ra is really strong, and so the Bria is no more one, there's good things, there's bad things, there's Kishen Shavach Hala Tov, Kavach Hala Ra, and so on. So the big picture of what's there that's right and what's there that's wrong is unity and disparity, divergence, and so on. So the Maral says there are three areas, three strata that you can define those issues. One is the split between Ruchnis and Gashmias. The split between Al-Yonim Tachtonim, Kadosh Baruch Hu made a Rakia, and we have a very clear sense of the split between the two. That split is really our avoda is the avoda of mitzvahs, bein adam lemakom, that tries to put it together. For instance, eating is a very physical activity. And when a person eats because he enjoys good food, even if he's hungry, it's a physical activity, and in as such, it seems to be distinct from something ruchnius. If a person is into Shabbos, and he's celebrating Shabbos, and part of the way he's doing it is through eating, then it becomes something much more than physical. I always give a mushel to myself. When people eat for Shabbos Kodesh, when is it physical and when is it ruchnius? If you ever come to a wedding and you see the mechutanim making a lechayim, it's been a long road, get their kids, raise them, give them the chinuch, look for shidduchim, and that doesn't always come easy. And when the climax is in a shidduch, you make a lechayim, and you see the expression of the joy in the lechayim, and there's a sense that there's something here that's spiritual, that's elevated, that's beautiful. You also have a look and you see a whole bunch of young kids flocking to the bar to really tank up on it. It's a very, very different look to it. Looks very, very different. I don't know if you've ever seen it. I don't know if you probably stick to ginger ale, if you happen to notice it, you'll see two people drinking a shot with very, very different, very, very different expression. So the person whose the Maisa mitzvahs are all deal with physical entities, that by doing it, incorporating it into an avodas adam of ruchnius, it takes on a ruchniistic appearance, a ruchniistic significance, and that sort of makes everything part. It sort of heals the rift, let's call it, between the alyonim and tachtonim. It melds them back into one as they should be. The second area where we see distinction is, even though I'm a chelik al-kai mimal, and you're a chelik al-kai mimal, and you're a chelik al-kai mimal, we're very different people. And in many ways, there's an adversarial relationship. What I have, you don't have. What you have, I don't have. It's competitive. And people, there is plenty of conflict between a different between different people. And, you know, even without breaking into war, the very fact there's always a sense of one against another. Bein Adam L'Chaveiro is the area of Torah that sort of strives to give the sense of commonness. So just like, and then let's take another example. A mother and a child are two separate, physically two separate beings, but a mother never sees a child's success as being in any way conflict. Mar says, "Other mekanim kol chutz mibno metalmido." If a mother's hungry and a child is hungry, the food will go to the child. It's because there's a sense of me and him are the same, and just like if I'm told that if I'm going to eat something, it's going to affect my this negatively or that negatively, I don't do it. The same thing, that relationship of a mother and a child is what we can see as that type of closeness of two people. So the general sense of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro is to create that. Those are two areas. So Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. When they're looking for a klal in the Torah, they're not looking to escape from mitzvahs. Klal God doesn't mean just do this. This is the main one. The other one's chas v'shalom. What it means is to get a perspective where all the mitzvahs click together, we need to have a framework. What's the frame? How do I understand the scope of the mitzvahs? So the first Mal Yoma said, Bezoma said, Shema Yisrael. Benanis said, Vafler Kamocha. And there's room to say which one would include the other. You can go this way and that way, and that's why each one is its own klal. And there's room to say one is greater because Vafler Kamocha can include Shemaim also. There's one more element that the Maral says is an ultimate sense of lack of echad. And that is the person internally. If we look into ourselves, one problem is sometimes we're tempted to do good, sometimes to do bad. But a real issue is that we have different forces within us that don't seem to be acting at all, in concert. They doesn't seem to be the same. The Rambam says that when we speak of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Echad, one element of it is we can't believe that there are others. We also are not allowed to believe that there are subsections. I can't appeal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Rachmim with the sense of sort of going behind the back of his mishpat. There's not two elements. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses at times to work with Rachman, times with Mishpat, and we have an avoda how to do it, but we can't chas v'sholem in any sense extract from that or extrapolate ke'ilu the different halakim. By people, it's not like that. If I'm a manipulative type of person, manipulation means I know you. This part of you is going to resist buying this thing because your prudent part of yourself won't buy this because you don't need it and you don't have the money for it. But you have a greedy part of yourself or a need to draw attention. So if I'm a good salesman, I'm going to hit home on that piece and get you really riled up so that you buy the tchotchke, despite the fact tomorrow you're going to have charata because you... I was pinpointing one part of yourself which is not in sync with the other part of yourself. One of our great frustrations is the fact that sometimes, it's like very sort of bekirbo, sometimes we're so good and sometimes we dump everything and nothing seems to go. There's that type of conflict that we're not whole within ourselves. So the third element of avoda is a person's own kohos to be misada each one, each place, if the person is one unit. Let's give an example that we can relate to. Let's say you have a teacher. Rebbe. Well, Rebbe are perfect, so we're just a teacher. And so sometimes a teacher, anyone who is not perfect will walk into a classroom, and if I'm in a bad mood for whatever reason, the Talmidim will feel it. Why? Because I am a teacher. I'm also a person. I'm also a husband. I'm also a father. I'm also a consumer. And if I have some problem with someplace else, it'll reflect itself. Or vice versa. If I'm in a great mood because of something, I'm not going to pay attention to the needs of the classroom so much because I'm in seventh heaven with something that's happening positive, and that's that. So the teacher is a teacher and also something else. If a teacher is a perfect teacher, so he walks in, he can use many different methods. He can be very tough, he can be very nice, he can be user-friendly, explain well, or he can tease and ask the Talmud to try to understand. But it's one person. I'm the master pedagogue, and I'm looking for what it is that I can use, which emotional tool, which intellectual approach I can use in order to get you to do what you need to do. So the same, having many different tools, many different aspects of your person means either you're one person with many tools. I can put on my charm, I can put on my coldness, I can put on my toughness, or on many people. And when a person's midos are not shalom, when a person hasn't worked on himself, he's many pieces. And you know, you find sometimes relationships where a person can be extremely kind, genuinely kind in some areas, and irrationally abrasive and nasty in other relationships. And you come to the realization, the pieces are not acting in concert. They're just not. He's got this, and there's no master and control that it's collecting as one piece. So the avodas pnim of each person into himself, and since that's the closest to us, that's our greatest sense of lack of achdus, or a person. So there's a pnimistic avoda, which includes most internal avoda that we would call midas and so on, is related at finding, at having the person become one. There's a famous Kuzari. Kuzari was famous. I'm sure you're all familiar. Kuzari is a story of the Kuzari king who wanted and looking for religion, and he called in different people, and he had the Chaver, who was the Jewish representative, talk to him about Judaism. And he asked him the following question. He said, if you guys are so holy and everything is ruchnius, why don't you sit all day in a monastery somewhere on a hilltop and meditate, contemplate, or do whatever, fast, do whatever spiritual people do? And the Chaver tells the Kuzari, you know, you didn't get it. The Shleimus HaAdam is to take all the pieces HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in and give them each in its right place. So Shleimus requires being sociable has an akuda to it. Being introspective has an akuda to it. Being able to deal with monetary issues is a certain part of a person. Being able to deal without money is a part of it. All of these are pieces. And if a person doesn't do an avoda that requires each and every piece to find its place, and the key word is its place and time and rubric, then the person is not shulling. There's no activity that's extreme and monolithic that you can say is Hashem. It's avodas Hashem. Avodas Hashem is when all the pieces click together that they come together. So, the final piece is Esakeves Echatase Boker. The mitzvah of Karban Tamid is the mitzvah of every single day. A day consists of a morning and a night. Vahi Erev Vayivoker Yoim Echad. In other words, the first unit that's called Echad in the Torah is Erev and Voker. There's not one unit that's called Echad. The first Echad are the pieces coming as one. That's the first Echad Nebriya. And therefore, there's something called Karban Tamid, which means all-encompassing. It's the Karban that's the big circle. Shabbos comes once a week, and the Musaf comes another time. And Karban Nedava comes when a person is Yaakov Mikem, and so on. And Chatos comes out. The biggest circle is Tamid, and that includes Erev and Voker together. That's the Chiddush of that avod of Karban Tamid. So if a person were to ask himself, that's what Ben Pazi came up with. And he said, an avoda of Tamidus, which consists of Boker and Erev, that's the Klal Gadol of Kalatari Kula. What did he find in this Pasik? So I think what he found was like this. If, and I saw Ke'enza somewhere. Vaidav Shoshalema, Dabe Yisrael, Vehicle Truma. They should take the following things. List the whole list of things. Ve'osu l'mikdash v'shachanti b'socham. They shall make a mikdash out of all these things where the Shechinah will dwell. K'choy l'ashri ma'roscho. Make it exactly like I told you. Eis tavnis ha'mishkav, eis tavnis kol kelev. So we have here, we'll use the English grammar, a subject, a predicate, and an object. Klal Yisrael, take everything and make a Mishkan. I think I said a complete sentence. Long run on sentence, complete. Tell the Klal Yisrael, take all of these items, duplicate exactly what I did, and create the Mishkan. V'chein ta'asu. And so too you shall also do. What's the v'chein ta'asu? It's really, really, and the vav, sometimes you want to repeat something for emphasis, you know, that's an emphasis. The vav is another sentence. V'chein tasu. If it would have said kein tasu, you could say it's repeated for emphasis. What's v'chein tasu? So I've seen some of this forum say something like Einze. The Mishkan is, in the big picture of the Mishkan is a model of taking all of the different elements that there are in the Bria, whether it's ingredients, whether it's elements, a shulchan, a menorah, and the aron is like a kisei, the different things like El Yoh had, it's a complete home and yard. It takes in all the elements of the Bria and includes them in one element. In a certain sense, it's the great work of being ma'achad, the different halakim of the Bria. And that's why every single piece, the precision of the mitzvahs in the Mishkan doesn't exist anywhere else. In most of the mitzvahs, you have minimal shiurim, an esrig, a lulav. There's a minimal shiur, there's no maximum shiur. And even when there's a maximum shiur of esri mama, it's a very, very big range. The Mishkan was very precise. And we also have it as a kula. We're not allowed to imitate the Mishkan, but if we're off by a bit, by a small bit, it's fine. The precision is exactly the Mishkan. Take all that and have precise and put them together as one unit, as a bias. A bias is one unit, and it's all. So v'chein tasu means, and you shall do the same for yourselves. Make it on the macro scale as a Mishkan of Ashras HaShchina, and now go back to yourself and do the same thing with yourself. I think that's the pshat in the Urios. The core element of the bias is the roof. That's the main part, the schach. So the schach was made as pieces hooked together. Put the pieces together and make an echad out of it. So the soid of the Amleches HaMishkan was the soid of taking pieces, giving each one its precise measurement and texture and use, including together so that it snaps together as one element. I think it's a very, very important map, roadmap of Avodas Hashem. When we start our path, when a person gets serious, person matures, person goes to yeshiva, person begins to deal, to want to become a ruchnistic person, we're all different. And we all have aspects of our personality that catch on more quickly. For instance, some people love learning, and learning catches them right away, and they get into it, and they're caught. Davening, they don't find so interesting. Helping other people, you know, if you have no choice, I guess you got to do it. Some people get very turned on to helping people, doing things, and they're always and they feel a ruchnistik sipug net immediately. Learning is a drag, davening, and some people like, they're very kind of emotionally spiritual, and they love davening, and they love singing, and they love that type of things, and love ruach, and so on. Each and every one of us is somewhat different in what it is that gave us our initial spark. And that's the way it is. But where do we have to head with? When a person asks himself, what is the good that I'm striving for? What's the shleimus that I'm working towards? A person needs to understand in the big picture, all of our kochos have to be acting in tandem. Yes, we'll always have stronger kochos and weaker kochos. The Kodesh HaKadoshim has the Arin, and then there's the Chatzah with the Mizbeach, and there's a Kior. It's not as if a person's organs are different, but they have to act in sync with each other, or else the person doesn't live. It's not enough that his liver is great, and his kidney is great, and his heart's great, and his lung is great. If they don't work together, If the heart doesn't take the blood from the lungs and doesn't pump it back to the lungs, and the liver doesn't clean it out from the stuff that the other organs can't use, and so on and so forth, it's not going to work. A person needs to, once a person's gotten into Ruchnius, a person needs also to understand himself, understand what are my kochos, what are my strengths that will become my ikar, Avod Hashem, and what are the weak areas that I have to bring up to par? And how do I do it? The Chazon Ish was from the greatest Masmidim that we were aware of. And somebody came to him from Yerushalayim, Moshe Shiel Landau. He was still in the mirror. He was Mekurev. And whenever he would travel from Yerushalayim to Bnei Brak, a bunch of people would ask him favors to ask the Chazon Ish this, ask the Chazon Ish that, and so on and so forth. So once he finished, he sort of, I don't know, apologized or sort of that he's being matriarch to Chazon Ish, and Chazon Ish can't learn because he's bothering with all these shayos, whatever. So Chazon Ish told him that Torah is the goof of it, is the neshama of Yiddishkeit, but Chesed is Yiddishkeit itself, something like that. I don't remember the exact fine lashon, but basically he said, if learning excludes chesed that you're supposed to do, then it's not a balanced act. That's not a shleimus. A shleimus is when there's a harmony between the pieces. And in the long term, once a person feels the motor's caught on, and he's striving in Ruchnius, and everyone knows what it is that turned him on, a person needs to pay attention to where he's naturally weaker and understand that the shleimus is when you have all the pieces. And there's a klal gadol b'Torah Shema Yisrael, which includes all of the avodas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a greater klal of Avdach Kamecha, which includes Be'aram L'Chaveroi and Ben Olam Makom, the way Rashi explains it. And then finally, the greatest klal, Rav Ploni stood up on his feet and said, this is the greatest klal, is when a person internally is able to balance all the pieces. As a kevasechot b'abaykot, kevasechot b'rabayim, the tmidus is the ability to take morning and night and put it together, and when a person has all that, that becomes the bechein tassel where his own mishkan has all the ureas snapped together and v'hoyal echad. It's lach.